A team of nuclear scientists is currently trawling the waters of Sydney Harbour in an old wooden tall ship, gathering samples to help researchers understand the life cycle of plastics and how they impact on the marine environment. The findings could force a rethink on whether biodegradable plastics are really the eco-friendly material we think they are. This team is being led by Professor Richard Bernardi, who joins us now. Richard, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Fran.
Before we get to your study, just tell me why you've taken a tall ship. You're on a wooden ship, really not what I expect from a scientific vessel. Why have you decided to hire the Yukon and do this?
Short answer is probably we can. It has something to do with the history of the project. Simon Mastow and David Nash, who is the skipper of the boat, have for quite some time supported local communities around Australia, addressing the waste issue, the plastic litter issue. They've made a lot of investment already, and they in fact approached us. This vessel is a beautiful old vessel that was built for the Baltic Sea, so it can tolerate very rough seas, and it can go into shallow waters. It's quite suitable for the task of sampling across Australia in either off the continental shelf or closer to the coast, and we were called in to help them with the analytics of the plastics. So the purpose is not so much to get a quantity surveying of what is floating in the oceans, but what's the quality of the material as it, or how does the quality of the material change as it degrades? And that's where the nuclear sciences come in to understand the atomic composition of that material.
Okay, so as we said, studying the full lifestyle of plastics, you're concerned about what are called biodegradable plastics, and the reason they're called that is because we think that they can degrade basically with doing less harm to the environment, that they can sink back into it. Is that what you're finding?
Biodegradable in the first instance just means it degrades in the environment, but the atomic composition of a material is a bit more complex. So you have the bulk polymer, but in the bulk polymer, depending on what its purpose has been, contains, let's say, heavy elements like lead, cadmium, sometimes arsenic. That's part of the manufacturing process. That can leach into the environment, or as the material degrades, and that's sort of just the geometry of the material, as it degrades, its surface increases massively. Something that originally might have been the size of a sugar cube can get the surface of a soccer field just as it degrades into nanoparticles. And in that process, plastic adsorb the trace amounts of contaminants that may be in the water already. So the material can toxify, and then the issue is that the material enters the food chain at various levels, either birds, and that was one study that we've been supporting for Jennifer Lavers at Monash University. Birds pick up the plastics that they mistake for prey, and then there are birds who have up to 10% of their body weight in their stomach, and that's obviously having a health effect. But then there are the smaller plastics that enter the food chain, and then the toxicity associated with this degrading material gets amplified, and there's really sort of the technical term, it would be biomagnification.
Sure. But basically what you're saying is that as it degrades, as it breaks apart, rather than standing there as a big lump of plastic, it can get potentially more hazardous, more toxic.
Yes.
And how are you, why are we using nuclear scientists to do this? What are you applying there from the nuclear science kickbag that will help trace this or follow this?
Yeah, in Australia, it's the Australian Nuclear Science and Technology Organization that has a technology platform consisting of accelerators, neutron sources, synchrotrons, and all these instruments are designed to, in essence, count individual atoms. So if you really want evidence where stuff comes from or where stuff goes, That's the level. It's so fundamental, it's almost easy again. You count the atom, you know where they come from, and what is called the isotopic ratios give you an idea how material travels through the system. Because what we have realized with plastics, we've converted a litter problem into a potential contamination problem, and that's really not what we would like to see.
Richard, we're almost out of time, but just briefly, I know you've been on the water for a while. Have you seen lots and lots of plastic?
We've seen lots and lots of plastic, but of course also lots and lots of magical things. The whales are migrating, and that sort of makes you think that you really don't want to see that lost. It's just such a beautiful environment in which we live, and there is lots of plastic certainly close to larger cities, but also well off the continental shelves we find plastics. As I said earlier, we are not so much interested in the big pieces that we can see, but the small pieces, and that has to be analyzed under the microscope or even more sophisticated techniques.
Have to clean it up to keep those whales and dolphins safe. Richard Benanti, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Professor Richard Benanti is from the Australian Nuclear Science and Technology Organisation. He's on a ship, a wooden boat, a wooden tall ship, sailing up and down part of the East Coast, trying to clean up, work out a way to get those toxic materials out of the ocean. It's 6:26 on Breakfast.